Good afternoon, everybody.
So this study was done by Ahmed El-Hindi, who is a trainee in the CDC's Public Health Associate Program that's been assigned to Michigan. So he spent his first year under my mentorship in the Division of Environmental Health and the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. And then the second year, he's been under Ken Rosenman's mentorship at the Division of Occupational Environmental Medicine at Michigan State University. MSU runs the occupational health surveillance programs for the state. So the background to this, actually the inspiration for assigning Ahmed to work on this project was a presentation at CSDE several years ago on the detection of a cluster of coccidiomycosis among workers at a solar farm in California that was identified from the doctor's occupational disease reports to the state rather than through the state's infectious disease surveillance system. So, it's a well-established fact that some infectious diseases can be related to work either because they were caused by work exposure or because work is a site for transmission. In 2009, at a time when there was active discussion at CSDE, I think this discussion is still going on, but to talk about what should be considered core and optional data elements included nationally notifiable conditions position statements, the CSDE Occupational Health Surveillance Subcommittee wrote a proposal recommending that occupation and industry be core data elements and a list of specific infectious disease position statements. And although that document never actually got implemented, it became the basis for our project. So for this project, we explored the information that's available in Michigan's electronic infectious disease surveillance database, MDSS for short, about occupation, industry, and name of work site. And our objectives were to quantify the completeness and quality of that information for identifying work-related disease. We found that in MDSS, there are several sections of each case report that collect information about work, including free text fields for work site and school and occupation slash grade, plus, for some conditions, a section on risk factors specific to that condition, which may be a free text or check boxes, and you're probably mostly infectious disease people here, in TB, there are check boxes if the person was a healthcare worker or a corrections employee and so on. So first we define the conditions where there's evidence of work as a risk factor using the CSDE 2009 document and conducting additional literature review. And we ended up with a list of 32 conditions and their associated high-risk occupations and industry types. We then pulled a file of confirmed and probable cases from MDSS for these 32 conditions, for those age 16 and older, presumably of work age. And for conditions with hundreds of cases annually, we pulled a minimum of 1 year of data, but for rare conditions, we may have pulled up to 14 years of data. So this wasn't meant to be a representative sample. It was just a convenience draw because of one person working on this and their limits of their time. So for each condition, the number with completed occupation and worksite fields was counted, eliminating information that was not relevant, for example, retired or student. And there were lots of blanks also. And for those with occupation and worksite information, the number in percent on our list of high-risk occupations and industries. We then looked in the information in the risk factors section, which existed for 27 of the 32 conditions, and compared it to what was written or not written in the occupation worksite free text field for each case. So anyway, here's the list of the 32 conditions. The number of cases we included varied from 10 cases of EEE over 14 years to 460 cases of histo over 4 years. And remember, these aren't annual incidents. This is kind of a convenience set of numbers. So for 55% of the 11 measles cases, they had an occupation worksite entry. And at the other extreme, only 6% of the 71 Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease cases had an entry. But the majority were in the 20 to 40% range. And this is not all 32 conditions. They didn't fit here, so these are, I think, about 21 of them. Arranged by the number of cases reports that we actually reviewed, and then you can see in the blue the percent that had occupation, industry, an entry. For those with worksite information, the number of cases with a high-risk occupation ranged from 41% for pertussis to none for CJD. At the high end, in relation to in addition to pertussis, 30 to 40% of cases with Q fever and blastomycosis had a high risk workplace listed. And then here's a chart of just those with work. I'm looking at my time, which is running out here. So obviously my presentation is available and you can look at these numbers in addition. So we were also interested in seeing if there were clusters that showed up. There were two worksite clusters in two conditions. They were suspect, but other sources of exposure were identified in the detailed case notes, so we didn't actually find anything. And there were numerous discrepancies between the risk factors section and the free text fields. Just for example, for tuberculosis, in the free text field, it identified 6 as healthcare workers, but the risk factors section, only 5 were checked off. So to conclude, inclusion of occupation and worksite as free text fields in the core infectious disease surveillance system has potential for trend in cluster surveillance, but to be really useful, there would need to be some changes in the quantity and quality of information. Thank you. Yes, in Massachusetts, they've already implemented a drop-down list of occupations to try and improve the quality of their infectious disease surveillance system.